You're in the Zone. Coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Acree and Pat Bradley on the Buzz Radio Network.
All right, welcome back on the UCA campus. Justin Acree, Pat Bradley tonight. Again, Bears hosting the Demons at the Ferris Center, 7 o'clock tip. Hope to see Coach Pennell here today at some point, and we will have the Bear Backers luncheon here later today. Appreciate our new Paisan friend coming up and paying up on our bet. Studio Soul! Check out Pat's Twitter account for the picture at PatBradley22. She looked very sad. It was pretty cute.
I know. That was fun.
I really wanted to see you in a
Seahawks
hat, though,
stocking
yes.
cap. I don't know how that would have went. I got to be honest with you, my man.
That wouldn't have gone over very well back home. That's for sure.
No, sir. Probably not let back into the entire state.
Yeah.
But all's well that ends well. Excited. We didn't get a chance to, I guess, talk too much about Pete Carroll and his decision, but I'm sure that's going to be talked about.
We will hear from Pete Carroll
many time, many days to come, for sure.
Many years to come.
Probably so. You know, you don't get back that often.
No.
And as you felt, I hate to bring it up, but in the NFC Championship game,
hey,
you could just see in Aaron Rodgers' face how he knew you may never be in that position again to have the chance to be so close,
right.
And it was right there in your hands. It was in your hands,
yeah.
My man. So Pete Carroll's going to have to deal with that.
Trickle-down karma's complete. It went from Sue's foot to Aaron Rodgers' leg.
Don't forget Jim Irsay.
To the front office of the NFL as they pardoned him. And then they got hosed in the Dallas game on a
There's
a pass interference play. No, the Lions got hosed on a pass interference call. Wasn't it?
Was that what?
Yeah,
it
remember
was?
They overturned the pass interference. Remember now? It's only been a few weeks ago. They went back and overturned the pass interference call, something we've never seen before. Then of course the Cowboys move on and they got, well, again, it was a properly administered rule, but it's a stupid rule, and they got screwed on the Dez Bryant catch. And then, of course, the Packers had a game that was given to them that they didn't accept, and the Seahawks move on to the Super Bowl, and then they blow it with a terrible play call. And
so at the end of the day, whose fault is it? In Damokong Suh?
Yes.
That
Damokong
guy.
Suh is
that
the man
guy.
That cost the Seahawks the Super Bowl. Now, you want conspiracy theories? There you go. My trickle-down karma theory is pretty rich, my friend.
That's good.
Let's go to Jim Harris. Of Sporting Live Arkansas. Jim,
hello,
good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You know, Jim, I haven't talked about this on the air yet, but I meant to say this yesterday. I blame Pat for the loss on Saturday by the Razorbacks, and I'll tell you why. On Friday, I said to Pat, if you could only have one victory this weekend, the Patriots in the Super Bowl or the Razorbacks, he bold-faced lied to me.
I said, no, I didn't.
Lied to me and said, I would much rather have the Hogs win at Florida, which nobody believed. And it was a lie in his heart that I think really cost the Razorbacks. If you would have just told me the truth and admitted that you would much rather have a Super Bowl win than a regular season basketball victory for your beloved Hogs, I think things would have worked out better down in Gainesville. But no, you cheated them, you screwed them. You, my friend, are the bad karma.
All right, I'll take it. I'll take this. You know what? Put this loss on me.
Okay, fine.
Put this one on me. I'll take it.
I do applaud, and Jim Harris, I'm sure you do as well, Mike Anderson standing up for his team. And it was sort of a devil-may-care kind of move. He called out the referee by name, and apparently, from what I read this morning, he may not even get fined over it.
Yeah, I think they said yesterday that there's probably, I don't know, it's kind of interesting, but if he's not getting fined, does that mean that the SEC has taken his problems to heart, doing something about them if he feels like there's a negative situation? I look back, I saw where John Hampton, I checked through one statistical place and saw where he's called Arkansas's games since 2000. Arkansas's record when he's called games is 13-17. Now, okay. I know that somebody had posted that on the road in games he's called, was posted on a message board, that Arkansas is 1-11. Of course, they're 1-11, and you know, games two other officials called with him, and they're also, I think they're running about 25% in road games. Period since the last trip to the Sweet 16. But just checking this, It's John Hampton, who Mike called out, did call the Dayton game at Fayetteville. Arkansas won 69-55. He called the Alabama game last year at Tuscaloosa that somehow Arkansas didn't even get off the bus and lost 83-58. I don't think that was in the hands of the officials as much as in their minds. Lost at home to Florida last year in a game he called, and that's the one that Mike was supposedly concerned about, and Tom Murphy, I believe it was. Maybe it was Bob Hope. It was one of the two guys from Democrat Gazette reported that Mike spoke with Tony Green. He's the black official in the game, the lead official for the game, about Hampton's calls against Florida last year. Now, the problem with Hampton, as you probably heard by now, he's a Kentucky graduate who attended school at the same time Pelfrey did. And, you know, Pelfrey's on the bench for Florida. Billy Donovan was an assistant at Kentucky for Rick Pitino. You can go down the list of why you probably don't want John Hampton being assigned Arkansas versus Florida games. Or for that matter, I'm not sure why anybody would want to have him calling a Florida game if you're the opponent. There's just too much closeness there.
Well, if we are going that line of thinking, I'd have to also throw in there that the fact that Pelfrey got fired from Arkansas probably is a little bit different than if it was Georgia versus Florida.
Well, I don't want him calling a Kentucky game either if I'm playing against them. So when Arkansas plays Kentucky this year, I don't want him on the floor for that game either.
He doesn't get to call, supposedly doesn't get to call any games involving Kentucky in the regular season or the postseason, although the postseason, if someone debated that. I heard that debated somewhere that, you know, all officials are considered NCAA officials, and they assign them based on merit in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, they're not conference officials when it gets to that point. I don't think you have to worry about John Hampton calling in the NCAA tournament.
No, I don't. I'm not too worried about that in general. But, meeting of the mics instead of a meeting of the minds apparently has settled this thing out, whether or not there's going to be a kind of financial issue. I don't know that we'll ever hear about that. I do want to talk about signing day, Jim, and this is something you can provide.
Well, I do want to say one thing, yeah? Justin, about that game.
Sure.
Could Arkansas have been better served and the whistle not have mattered if Arkansas, Pat, I'll throw this on you. You're the basketball expert, but on those last 10 seconds, Arkansas's in a tight man-to-man spread out all over the court, and Portis is out about 25 feet from the goal on his man, and a guard takes the ball to the basket. There is no big man at the goal. There's no Kingsley on the court to defend the goal. You've got your same five that were out there who scored the go-ahead points, and there was no substitution made. I mean, if some of this not on the sideline as far as how you set up to defend the last shot and not to be able to rebound their miss. I'm just going to throw that out there. I mean, you can blame the whistle, but
I'd like to.
Is Arkansas better? Yeah, you like to do that better than the fact that even when Michael Frazier puts up the rebound shot, Portis is just entering the lane. I looked at the photos of this play. Mm-hmm. He's still 12 feet away from the basket. The only guy with any size and strength inside at this point really is a Landis.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at it, I think for the game, Florida shot 34%. Arkansas was at 40%, 18% from the 3-point line. So the first issue is, You cannot allow a guy to – dribble penetration, always says, the most devastating thing in basketball because you see what happens. You get to the basket and you get – so the kid, first of all, gets in for a layup. Then Frazier gets that stick back or second chance opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to look at something, certainly in that situation, you got to contain and force him to shoot a jump shot. That's just – that's what I feel like. I mean, whether
I
or not
– I agree totally.
I mean, I didn't care if there was – a manager in there. You got to contain the ball handler, and you got to force a jump shot. 10 seconds left. They're not shooting the ball very well. And frankly, the kid who attacked the basket did not have a good game. Was it Chioza?
I mean, talking about freshmen.
So
he's a freshman. Yeah.
Keep the ball in his hands, right? Because he's typically not going to make that shot. I mean, I'd love to see how many times with 10 seconds left he's going to make a jump shot to win a game.
True.
So,
right.
Yeah,
John Horford is not going to shoot a shot out 20 feet. So it's like I don't even see Portis needing to be away from the lane. I just don't see it. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. That's how Arkansas plays. It works sometimes. It only didn't work the other day because they were called for foul on the block. There may have been some contact. I think everybody wants to look at the hand on the ball, and it was clean there, but was there arm contact? I think we failed to look close enough and probably give the referee the benefit of the doubt until you find out it's a guy who has some connections to John Pelfrey. So that's a problem. So anyway, let's move on.
All right.
But I just wanted to throw that out there.
It is signing day eve, so recruiting. Talk to me about what's shaping up here over the last couple of days, Jim, and what kinds of expectations you have for tomorrow for Arkansas or any other in-state teams that pique your interest.
Well, the only thing I'm seeing is I'm kicking my own rear end for not writing the column I've been wanting to write that said that every time Arkansas beats Texas in a bowl game or in the regular season and everybody expects that to turn into some kind of big recruiting push for Arkansas, it doesn't work that way at all. It didn't help on the backside of January 1st, 2000. It didn't help in 2003, Arkansas trampling Texas pretty good at Austin. It didn't turn the tables and make Arkansas a factor. And Arkansas is unfortunately going to teeter down the finish to a kind of a weak finish over these last five spots. It appears that, it's a solid class that Arkansas has recruited over the year to about the 20 spots they had locked up or so, 19 spots by the bowl game. Doesn't look like, from what all the experts are saying, and I read them all, and I read LSU, and I speak to some LSU guys, and Mississippi guys, and people in Alabama, and I try to talk to Bruce James, who I also think is probably as good as anybody here in Little Rock as far as following the Southeastern Conference recruiting, and everybody has told me I don't feel good about Toby Weathersby signing now with Arkansas. It's funny, he dropped Texas after that bowl game, so what Arkansas was able to do is get a visit out of him, and he dropped Texas, but he's going to end up probably signing with LSU. I don't even see Arkansas. I don't know why, but it looks like this kid out of Destrehan High School in New Orleans is going to go with Central Florida over Arkansas. He's a safety, a little undersized safety, kind of a Jericho Nelson-sized player, about 5'11", 175, 180. Hits real hard, though. I don't know what's going on with the other guys. Arkansas took a walk-on yesterday, a good walk-on, out of North Little Rock. So Arkansas actually is going to get a player out of North Little Rock. They announced yesterday that Tyler Phillips, who has those incredible spark numbers, their statistical numbers that, you know, the high school athletes go through as far as jumping, running. Now, I forget what SPARC stands for, but anyway, it's quickness, it's evaluation of all these kind of factors, and it got him to the B opening with KJ Hill. He attended that and had good numbers there. Had an invite to walk on at Oregon. Has committed to sign with OBU here in state, but he's going to walk on with the Razorbacks, according to all the reports yesterday. So that's it's a pretty good get, because with the numbers he has and the size he has, you think, coaching all that talent up, he could end up being, a decent football player here in college in the next, few years with the staff they've got at Arkansas. Don't see KJ Hill going to Arkansas unless no one else has a scholarship for him, I guess. He didn't visit last weekend.
He didn't? Okay.
No, he didn't take his visit.
So help me out with something, Jim. You got to sign. Is Wednesday, if you don't sign by Wednesday.
Oh, you can sign from, there's a month. You can sign for a month, and you're obligated to that school after that. You can sign with anybody. You can sign with somebody in May, but it's not binding in May. It's binding from February the, what is that, the 4th? Are we the 3rd today?
Yes, 4th, tomorrow.
Okay, February 4th to March the 4th is the binding letter of intent signing period, and after that, say if KJ didn't sign with anybody, say he just decided to just wait and see where he's going to be in August. He could be free game anywhere.
Yeah, that sounds like a strange plan. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's going to be his plan. If Alabama's got a scholarship for him, he's going to sign it. I just don't see him not doing that. And I hate that for 100 reasons. Most importantly for KJ, I think that his stepdad and KJ have been wooed by the name and the, I mean, and they have a brand. There's no doubt about it. The Alabama brand is big. And I tweeted this last week. Justin, you may have retweeted this, but I said, if I was 17 years old and Nick Saban and Urban Meyer came to town to visit me, heck, if they visited me at 50-something, I think I'd be giddy. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, I agree.
I mean,
you always say that, and I agree with you.
And
we always say that, but Nick Saban and Urban Meyer visit a lot of kids, and they don't get every kid. So as overwhelming as it is, certainly, I would imagine Greg could have went anywhere. I mean, there's been other talent that has stayed in this state that's been wooed by some of the best.
Well, 9 out of 10 guys that Arkansas felt like could play SEC football, they're getting. And like LaMichael Petway out of Nashville has a chance to, you know, with his size and speed, to be a big-time player, 6'3", 195, athlete, can do anything. I mean, Greg's – I hate the old Kurt Gowdy line that his future is ahead of him. You know? They always made fun of Kurt Gowdy saying that, but that's the deal about Greg. He hasn't even touched his potential. I think that's a lot of why everybody was kind of after him. They watched his brother grow into from probably the fourth best receiver on Warren's football team in 2007 to the best one in the – or probably even with Jarius. I mean, Jarius has had a good career so far too, but Chris Gregg has grown into an NFL player. Certainly a lot of that was the coaching he got from Bobby Petrino, and you hope that this staff will do the same thing with him. Ty Story, I mean, you know, he's just going to – he has a lot of skills and a really impressive arm as far as his accuracy on the kind of throws that you saw thrown in the Super Bowl. Possession throw. Man, I loved what New England did just to jump to the Super Bowl. The way they controlled the game early, keeping possessions away from Seattle. And that's Arkansas's game. If you watch New England and how they use the tight end, Arkansas doesn't do it with the pass, obviously, because I have a Tom Brady. But I think that Ty Story has the kind of accuracy that gives them the kind of chance to run those kind of pass plays that offset the running game and let you control the clock. You don't have to be a spread team and score in a minute every time. You can use the passing game to eat clock, and I thought that was so big for New England Sunday, was keeping the ball away from Seattle in the first half.
Jim, one last thing here, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, and if you're not comfortable going into it, if you don't have a lot, I don't have anything on it other than what I've read in reports, but the strange case of Brad Boulding, Whether or not it's connected to KJ Hill, I have no idea. But there's certainly a lot of news outlets looking into this, and they've basically been doing what most news outlets don't do typically, which is reporting that there are a lot of rumors swirling. Do you have any insight, or does Sporting Live Arkansas have any insight into what's going on with the situation with the North Little Rock head football coach?
Well, I think the people that involved, obviously Boulding, there's been concerns about his recruiting, but the AAA's never done anything about it. There's players that have moved, and it's been viewed that they went on their own, like DJ Brown, like KJ moving from Bryant to North Little Rock. I think that KJ did go to North Little Rock on his, or I think that Montez Peterson, his stepdad, went there. Look at the pattern. And, but there's some other situations and some other players that I think ought to be, let's just say, well, I'm kind of close to the Pulaski Heights crew that came through there, and there's at least one kid, an outstanding kid, that should be going to Little Rock Central that's going to North Little Rock. All that beside the point, I think something came up, and I have yet to have anybody tell me wrong about this, but do you remember, but they're also not saying anything. Here's the deal about North Little Rock. If they would just step out and say something instead of letting all these rumors about how this affects Bama. I don't think any Bama supporters have done anything. I don't think KJ Hill's involved in this thing that you've heard about. I think it goes back to when the FBI raided John Rogers, the collector.
Yeah.
Well, he was a big financial supporter for North Little Rock sports and for North Little Rock football. North Little Rock is a Nike team. They weren't just picked out to be a Nike team on the goodness of Nike. They pay for that, and they won't tell me what the total amount is to what they have to pay, but it's been estimated, because it entails them getting all this equipment and all this, that it's no less than 20 and probably as much as 40,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Well, at some point last year, those payments weren't going to be made because John Rogers didn't make any payments to help the North Little Rock football team.
No, he's got bigger fish to fry right now.
And Brad Boulding sent out emails to a lot of prominent people here in Little Rock and North Little Rock asking for donations to help their program, and he had players out with cans, you know, collecting money to try to take care of that debt. After that, I have to tell you, I'm getting stonewalled. Max Brantley's gotten stonewalled. A lot of reporters probably getting stonewalled as to that private booster club. Did the money to take care of that come from that, and did we come to a head as far as football getting all the money at the expense of all the other sports? That's where I think this thing lies.
Yeah. Well, they're playing the card that most companies do, including ours, so I can't say anything bad about North Little Rock High School.
Right, they're in disaster playing the crisis.
It's a personnel matter.
Right.
Well, that's what they do. It's a personnel matter, and they don't want to open themselves up to litigation, and I understand that. And it sucks for the public, especially when you're in a high-profile position like radio or a high-profile position like high school athletics. It sucks that they're not going to comment on it, but that is a typical policy for most organizations, so it's not surprising.
Well, since I have put this out on the radio now, maybe somebody will say something a little more.
But I don't think they're worried about what we say, because I know there are a lot of TV stations.
Thanks for letting me say what
I'm glad you did. Well, I'm glad you did. Yeah, there are a lot of TV stations looking into it as well, and I mean, it's just they're not really releasing anything, and it's going to be hard to get information if they don't talk about it. So we'll see. It'll take somebody connected to the program being willing to go on the record that isn't necessarily tied directly to the school.
Well, I'm not about to report a bunch of rumors. I've got to have somebody in play saying, even if they say, look, keep my name out of it, I need somebody a little more, involved instead of, parents and that kind of thing. But nobody inside seems to want to say a word.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, the rumors are almost always worse than the reality of it. So, and for Brad, it'd be nice for the real story to get out there, probably, because what's going around is probably worse than what actually went on anyway. But anyway, it's a bummer, man. I hate it. He's part of a prominent football family, certainly, and his brother's done some good things as a coach as well. So, anyway, he'll get another opportunity, I'm sure, going forward, and hopefully we'll get the story here sooner rather than later. But
the only thing I've told you is facts. But anyway, let's leave it at that.
All right, Justin. Jim, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the insight. Jim Harrison, SportingLiveArkansas.com. Appreciate him. We got to take a timeout. We're on the UCA campus. I got a top 10 list. We've got key three coming up, though, and I normally like to do it before the break. We've had a long discussion about this. But you're just going to have to hang with me, baby. We're going to do key three after the break.
Yeah.
Pat's got a key three.
Yeah, I got a key over there, buddy. I got key them all.
We'll be back. Stay tuned.